Our God's big, isn't he? Amen? You know, the impact of everybody in this room, your impact could be the person to your left. Sometimes your impact's the person on the other side of the planet. I know we've had people take trips to places, and then the whole world is somewhat touched by this place. It's kind of, you know, you look over there and you see that board over there where we have the various folks that we are somewhat part of helping, that God's work will be done in those various places. And so it just amazes me that that was loud. We good now? Okay. All right. Well, today we're still back in Colossians. Last week, Dwayne took us through and introduced this idea of the mystery of God. And as I was saying, okay, what's the next few verses we're going to come to in Colossians? I got to verse 27, and I couldn't get past it. So this is all of one verse today. And it has that very famous phrase, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So as we begin, let's just begin with that. I'm going to click my button. So we're going to talk about Christ in you in all kinds of circumstances. So maybe we should all read this together today. We'll start that. Would you stand with me if you'd like? If not, you can stay seated. But let's just all read this together today. Colossians 1, 27. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Thank you. So the Christ in you, hope of glory, what is that? Well, it's actually that word mystery. And so as we have been doing from time to time, what's the Greek? And so I actually put it up for you. So if you can pronounce this, a couple of different forms, mysterio or mysterion, is the Greek word that we translated in English as mystery in that scripture we just read. And I was really interested in the Strong's Concordance definition of, well, what is a mystery? In the Bible, a mystery is, and it's a double negative, so English people don't get too upset, not something unknowable, right? A mystery is not unknowable. Rather, it is what can only be known through revelation, i.e., that is to say, because God reveals it. So a mystery is something that you really don't know until it's revealed to you. You've done the whodunits, right? And the last scene of the whodunit is it revealed whodunit, right? And this is that same word. When God was talking about this, there is a mystery. And it really comes to the fact that what God has for us is to reveal himself. So my points today are very exciting. My first point is Jesus reveals himself to us. My second point is Jesus reveals himself in us. And guess what my third point is? Jesus reveals himself through us. Right? So let's talk a bit about this. So Jesus reveals himself to us. This is when the Lord, pretty much this scripture, this is when the Lord reveals to us he is the Savior, right? He is the Lamb of God. The mystery hidden in verse 26, to them, well, first, who's the them? Let's step back to verse 26 that says, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to the saints. That's the them that this thing, it's interesting that hidden for ages and generations. The mystery of the gospel, the mystery of the good news, wasn't fully revealed until Christmas, right? And Resurrection Sunday. That was the revelation of the good news. So for the ages and generations past, they knew it was coming, but it was still a mystery. It had yet to be revealed. God took on flesh, was born of a virgin, walked this earth, hung on a cross, bled and died, but then he arose. Amen? So that's the mystery that was for ages and ages not quite revealed yet. And that's why when Paul said this to the Colossians, to them, to you saints, God has chosen to reveal, can I say that? Make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of mystery. And what's the mystery? Christ in you, your hope of glory. Christ is revealed not only to the Jews, because all of creation, you can take all of creation and just draw a line somewhere. You know, I can do all of creation and draw a line between male and female. You know, everybody's either male, you know, I can draw a line between what, and the Bible draws a line, Israel and everyone else, right? And who's the everyone else? Gentiles, right? So most of us, I'm pretty sure most of us in this room are the Gentiles that we're talking about in this particular case. So Christ revealed himself to that. We can see by his revelation, by the revelation of the Spirit, calling us to redemption. Let's look at what else he said to the, this is Paul writing to the Ephesians. It's pretty long. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into what? The mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to the apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs. You can put with Israel. Members of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the good news, the gospel. So one of the things that verse 27 says is that salvation and fellowship with God is available to all creation, right? The Jew and the Gentile can know the revelation of God. Now, revelation is by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what reveals Christ. And we're going to talk a bit about that. The revelation is by the Holy Spirit, and we are called to repentance, and we are given faith to believe by the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that enables us to see that which is being revealed. And the reason I would say that is because if the Holy Spirit doesn't reveal it to a person, they don't get it. Here's one of my life verses. The person in 1 Corinthians 2, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them what? Foolishness. We just heard from the video, an entire nation, when they see that, they see foolishness. They're attacking it. They're afraid of it. They don't understand it. They don't get it. Why? And they cannot understand it because this is discerned only through the Spirit. So when I do this, we start talking about, you know, how come lost people act the way they do? How come we have all this trouble? How come there's all this, people don't get it. They say you're an idiot, you know, this whole Christianity thing. You're an idiot. How do you even believe that, right? To them, it is foolishness. It really is. They don't get it. And unless the Spirit brings discernment and understanding to them, it will be foolishness. And this is the last time I was up here preaching to, as I said, you know, listen, when we pray, how often are we praying for the eternal things? How often is our prayer for my lost neighbor, not just that my neighbor needs some food? And what are you praying? Pray that the Spirit enlivens their heart. Because otherwise, it's just foolishness. Why? I can continue on in Corinthians chapter 1. So for the message of the cross is what? It's foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved by it, it's the power of God. So last week, Dwayne, secondhand shared testimonies. So I'm going to third hand. I'm going to share what Dwayne shared about people's testimony. Right? So last week he shared about Rock. Do you remember Rock? Rock was a young man who was a Buddhist, right? And Christianity was foolishness to him, right? Like, this doesn't make sense. I don't get it. What is up? It's just silliness, right? And then he went on a camping trip, and he's out in, and he looked up. Romans 1, right? Romans 1 says, no one can deny by just looking at creation, right? creation yells, God. So he's out in nature, and he looks up, and he sees the majesty of the cosmos, but that's not what he sees. Suddenly, his foolishness became discernment. And I love the end of the story, that it just took one word from that lady walking through if you weren't here, the story was, he went back and at the family's business, an art gallery, a lady just came in, walked around, looked at pictures, and as she's walking out the door, she just turned and said, Jesus, and left. You know, just that word. And the foolishness, the Holy Spirit, enlivened his heart, his mind, and all that he was, and he's like, oh! Right? So the Lord is going to reveal to us revelation that was affirmed by a single word, Jesus. So when we look at this, we think about Jesus reveals himself to us. And in my days of business work, you know, meetings, just half of my office life was just in meetings. And in those meetings, people would share information, share data, you know. And as I said before, teaching is for your head, right? Some of this teaching stuff is for your head. But preaching is for your heart, right? And it's kind of like when we have these business meetings, someone would give me a bunch of data and we go through it, and I would always have a so what, right? Just had this meeting, thank you very much. You just gave me a bunch of data, so what? Meaning, what are we going to do with this data? What are we going to do with this information? Are we going to make a change? You know, and from a business perspective, I always wanted the so what, because if you don't have a so what for the meeting, why are we meeting? Right? So you would say, okay, for the so what is, okay, here's what we need to go apply and do and change. For this information I just gave you, when Jesus reveals himself to us, what is your so what? Well, first off, those of us who have been redeemed by the Lord, we say thank you for revealing yourself to us. Right? If you're in this room, and it was foolishness when you walked into this room, but maybe at this moment it's not foolishness. This is my so what to you then is repent. And believe, right? Repent and believe in the revealed Savior. If you are being called by the Holy Spirit, this is the wind in John 3. When Nicodemus came to Jesus and he told him you must be born again, there was a little statement that Jesus made in John chapter 3. He said, the wind blows wherever it wants. That was a play on words, because that word wind in Greek, pneuma, is the same word they use for spirit. So what Jesus was saying is the Holy Spirit blows wherever it wants. And if it's blowing by you, don't sin, don't quench, but take the faith that you're given, that Holy Spirit has given you to understand. So my plea to you, if you are not redeemed, if you are not in Christ, this Christ is in you, if you are not in Christ because of his revealed nature of being our Savior and our God, and the Holy Spirit's calling you, yield. Yield to what the Holy Spirit has for you. And come talk to us if we need to at the end of the service. All right, so Jesus reveals himself to us for the purpose of, I am your Savior. But as I've said before, salvation, your day of justification, is just the beginning, folks. You are being saved, present tense, right? Your salvation is not at 9 years old, I went forward, I want to believe in God, so I'm done. As a 9 year old, I was done, check it off, I'm a Christian. No. There's a long road to go with this guy, right? So when Jesus reveals himself in us now, he reveals to us, again, for our sanctification, for our discipleship. He reveals himself in us as the Lord of heaven, as our master, as our king. So Christ in you, the indwelling of the Spirit in the name of Christ, revealing to us his love, he reveals his value system, his holiness, and our need for sanctification. And as he does that, he affirms us in his love that, hey, son, you're getting there. You're getting there. And what does that look like? So let's continue on. In Romans 8, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. And the key thing I want to hear is that word dwell. What does dwell mean? Where you live, right? Dwell means, I wrote it down, to occupy, inhabit, and remain. You know, sometimes with the little children says, I got Jesus in my heart. You know, is that okay to say? Yes. Romans 8 says it's okay to say because the Spirit of God dwells in me when I'm in Christ. And that dwelling, that living, that remaining, that steadfastness of God Christ in me is when Jesus reveals himself in us. In Christ, he dwells in you, he resides, conforms, and influences us. One of the things I look to look at that next last line, does not have the Spirit of Christ. Wait, I thought it was Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of Christ. Wait, which is it? It's I got the Spirit of God, I got the Spirit of Christ, I got the Holy Spirit. What is this? If you recall back when we did the verse 15, we talked about Jesus created everything. And this is one time I said, when in Genesis 1 it says God created. Who is God? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Right? And I reminded us that, you know, when creation was made, it was made according to God the Father, by and through God the Son, and empowered by God the Spirit. Right? The Trinity. Anybody who's going to stand here and try to explain the Trinity to you, we're going to fail. Right? It's like, you know, you just have to say it is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. And actually, you know, if I try to explain it, I always try to, humankind, you have one human has multiple persons. I stand here right now. My name is Andy. Andy is a father. I stand here right now. Andy is a son. Andy is a husband. Andy is a brother. And, you know, so it's still Andy, but there's personage. That's as close as I can get. It's one God, and he does all those things. Right? And so we can say, the Spirit of God dwells in you. The Spirit of Christ dwells in me. The Holy Spirit dwells in me. God dwells in me. Yes. Keep up with my notes. So, this dwelling, this abiding is when Christ reveals himself in you. He's in you, and his presence is going to have an effect. We call it discipleship, sanctification, but it's going to have an effect. First off, before I move on, we have to remember that when God came to dwell in you, it was once, there was one dwell, right? The moment of your justification, the Spirit came to dwell in you. Now, how much dirt you still got on you, that can be discussed a little bit, but, you know, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Sealing. In the old days, remember the letters would have the wax seal? Why did they seal it? Because it's official and only the right person is supposed to open it, right? A seal in us also means it's permanent, right? Seals mean it can't be tampered with. Nothing can escape when something's sealed, right? So the Holy Spirit, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Rest in that. Also rest in that he will deal with you, right? He will deal with you. And he's bigger than you are. And so I rejoice in the fact that he's in me. I rejoice in the fact that he's revealing himself in me, and sometimes it hurts. No chastisement for the moment seems pleasurable, but the end thereof brings about the peaceful fruit of righteousness. That's one of those verses I have to keep saying over and over again so I can get it. All right, so because the Holy Spirit is, after our justification, the day of redemption, the Holy Spirit and God is dwelling in us, and his purpose is to seal us and to guarantee our inheritance and to reveal himself so that we could have this hope of glory, he is going to start messing with us. Brandy, I'm going to use you now. This is my third person. I'm going to share the testimony that Dwayne shared about Brandy. Okay? Brandy was mentioned before her salvation, day of salvation, she would read the Bible, and it was foolishness, right? I see words going by, but they're just words going by, nothing's happening. And then the day of salvation began, and the foolishness suddenly became discernment from the Holy Spirit, and now you're going, oh, right? The Bible, the Word of God becomes beautiful and wondrous, and it's like, wow. And that, you know, Christ is going to reveal himself. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with the inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Here we go. And your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. He's going to root in you. Is that good? Yeah. He's going to just grow deep, deep. And he knows more about, I mean, he knows more about you than you know about yourself, right? And he is going to be in you and deal with you. And I thought, let's just talk about, and I started to list a bunch of things, and you'll see at the end, like, and so on, and so on, and so on. But I want to cover a couple things. Ooh, that one's holiness. His holiness will be in you. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. When Christ is in you, he, in 1 Peter said, you shall be holy. Why? Because I'm holy, and I'm in you. You will be holy. Really? You know, we have this constant battle. How can I be holy? I'm just a stupid guy and still walking around in this flesh and stumbling and making mistakes. And he says, no, you're going to be holy. Every day, you're going to be a little holier. It's kind of like I remember they talked to Michelangelo about his great sculptures. How did you get that? Such a great sculpture. It looks so beautiful. How did you make that happen? And the fable, I don't know if he really said this, but it was attributed to him. He said, I just chipped away the parts that didn't look like it. And that's what God's doing. He's just going to chip away the parts. That's not holy. Psh, chip that off. Might hurt. It's easier if you yield to him. Trust me. But he said, don't walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. He's in you. He's going to make you holy. He's going to show you what love is. I'm going to grow deep. My roots will grow deep down into love. You know, the fruits of the Spirit, we all should know these nine attributes. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then you'll be full of joy. And you'll have peace. And you'll have an amazing patience. You'll be kind to one another. You'll be good. You'll be faithful. Even gentle, he's working on that one for me, and self-control. His roots will grow into you when he reveals, as he continues to reveal himself in you and in you and in you, those attributes are going to be like you. I mean, I think I always like to use the example of an orange. You've all had the good orange, and you've all had the orange that kind of was lacking, right? Those oranges, like, ooh, that one's terrible. He's going to look at you. You're still an orange, but he's going to get... He's going to put himself in you, and you will reflect him as he works on you. Another thing that I thought we'd throw in here was sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. Remember, God is true, right? What God says, what God sees, what God does, that is truth. It's not just facts, truth. He is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. So you will understand truth. This is like the scripture comes alive, and I get it, and I see it, and it's truth. And what the benefit of truth is, truth leads to wisdom. You are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and your redemption. Jesus is revealing himself in you. If you are in Christ, Christ is in you, in your heart. He is revealing himself. And these things, and this is like, okay, we could go on to grace and forgiveness and humility and compassion and generosity and helpfulness and zeal. I was going to run out of attributes, right? I was going to run out of pages to talk about, and we have to get out of here before it's, you know, it's supper time. But all the attributes and characters of God, when he reveals himself in you, you will be like him. And his grace and his forgiveness and his humility and his compassion and generosity and his zeal for himself. That is what he is going to do, and he's going to make that in you. It's going to happen. Some of you are slow learners. You get smacked upside the head every now and then. My head still hurts. But that's where we're at. This is there. So you know what our response to that is? When you start to begin to understand what Christ in you is, let all that I am praise the Lord. My whole heart, I praise his holy name. Your response to his working in your life is just the praising. Thank you, God. My whole heart, you're dwelling in my heart, and it's you. And it should be coming more and more like you, and that's what he wants to do. And he will do it. He will get there. Again, he's bigger than you are. What's the so what on this? I'm going to have to find my so what. My so what to this is one single word. Yield. Yield. Right? A prideful heart fights against God's work. Yield. A sinful heart fights against what God's doing to you. Yield. Yield to the Spirit that dwells in your heart. You'll hear it. And he's gonna like Michelangelo, he's gonna chip. Right? He may take a whole arm off. I don't know, might, but he's gonna chip away at you. And you're like, oh, you have this moment of victory. Thank you, God. I was gentle and kind to this person today, you know. He said, that's good. Now we're working on this. You're a never-ending project. We all have those never-ending projects. You are God's never-ending project. Well, we'll get to that in a second. It will end. But at the moment, in this temporal time, you are never, as you walk upon this earth, you're a never-ending project for God as he reveals himself in you. My next point is Jesus reveals himself through us. What does that mean? He reveals himself as King of Kings and the light of the world through his people. Christ reveals his glory, his grandeur to a world, and he uses you to reveal himself to a lost world. If we go all the way back to the beginning, someone that needs Jesus to reveal himself to that person, how is God going to reveal himself to that person who's yet to believe? It might be you. I still remember back at work days, Everybody's business has gone through some layoff times, and it was one of those hard business times. And I was talking to this lady in Connecticut, and we'd have three or four conversations, and we got done with a conversation, and she's like, Andy, how come you're always so joyful through all this? You know, and that was that moment that I got to tell her why. And that was God's revealing himself, using me to reveal himself to this lady who's lost. But she's like, I don't understand. How can you be joyful in all this mess? And I got to tell her why. And she listened. And God reveals himself through us. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness in creation, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Jesus. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God, not us. This gets us back to the Jesus revealed himself in our lives to start the process. He may reveal himself in our lives to start the process for someone else, that he might be revealed to them. You may be edifying a brother. And Jesus is going to reveal himself through you to your brother and sister in Christ to edify them that they may walk and increase their walk with God. God's going to use you. He's going to reveal himself through you if you are an obedient Christ. Because he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It's your call. When Jesus has revealed himself in you and you are becoming holy and truthful and full of love and honoring your God, you're just going to shine. And people are going to say, Andy, how come you're always joyful? And you're going to get to tell them why. Because he uses you to shine through you. And he were even instructed. This should have been in red letters, because this was Jesus saying this. Let your light shine. He's saying, let me use you and reveal myself through you, because you're an obedient child of God. He didn't say you're perfect. He said you're an obedient child of God. And if you stumble, tell them I stumbled. We have not just this role, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because remember, hope, if I were to describe hope, I think I wrote it down. Yeah. We have a current hope I could call probably a confident expectation. Right? Christ in you, your confident expectation of glory. He will glorify himself through you as you walk upon this earth. But there's that day coming, right? We all know this, right? You should know this. There is a day coming. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Why? Because we shall see him as he is fully. The revelation of Christ, to see the risen physical Christ. There's that day of he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it in the end, right? I've been crucified with Christ. No longer I live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, but I know that there's this day coming that we shall be like him and we shall see him. That is the final revelation, to see the risen Christ. Remember Thomas doubted? He said, unless I touch that hand, I won't believe. Jesus walked up and said, Thomas, touch it. Then what did he say? He said, you believe because you touched and saw. And then he said, blessed are those that have not fully seen me yet, but still believe. That's us. But our hope of glory is that it's coming. So what's our so what on that? Let your light shine. Let his light shine through you. Set your mind on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of the Father, and walk in a manner that he calls for you. That's the so what for Jesus reveals himself. He's going to reveal himself in you, and he's going to use you to show his love to a broken world. So let's do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you called us. I thank you that I get to declare Jesus is in my heart. The Spirit of Christ is in my heart, and we thank you that you saved us, that you redeemed us, you justified us, and you're working on us, Father. I come before you, and I pray that we would be obedient children, we would yield to all that you're about, Father. I pray that someone in this room, if you need to reveal yourself to them, this is their day of redemption, Father. And they can come up here and say, I believe. Father, for those of us that are in you, may we hear your voice. That word yield just keeps coming up, Father. We would yield to all you have for us. May your will be done in all we have. May your name be exalted. We bless your name and we thank you for being our God and for your love for us. Amen.